Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He's found Müller here, and that's another one. Five for Bayern Munich.
Oh, that's what Chelsea needed! Fantastic from Willian!
And it goes towards Rooney! The goal that Manchester United needed! The goal to put Wayne Rooney level with Dennis Law!
I'm Rio Ferdinand and this is the BT Sport Champions League podcast. Last night, Arsenal were in Munich to face Bayern and Chelsea played Dynamo Kiev at Stamford Bridge. Joining me for the best BT Sport analysis was Gary Lineker, Ian Wright, Emmanuel Petit and Glenn Hoddle.
Thiago, and the flag stayed down! For the offside, and they've paid for it. Lewandowski is the scorer. Towards Müller. Koeman tried his luck, and Müller makes it 2-0. Now Arsenal really are in very, very deep water here. Alaba this time. Oh, that's another one. There's your answer. 3-0. Alaba again, and Robin, first touch, goal. 4-0. Nice ball in. Giroud, can he finish it? Yes, he can. Tremendous finish from Olivier Giroud. He's found Müller here, and that's another one. Five for Bayern Munich to rub it in. Two for Müller on the night.
Yeah, it's very painful to watch because I believe that defensively we were extremely poor. Did never look like a team who recently played as a unit, and overall it's a top disappointing performance. The crazy thing is that we looked always like we could create chances, we could come out at the back, but I feel overall it's a very disappointing performance, and you have as well to congratulate Bayern, they're by far the better team tonight.
It was a very difficult night for Arsenal. Was it a question, Rio, of Arsenal being poor or Bayern Munich being excellent, or a little bit of both?
I think a little bit of both. I think Bayern were undoubtedly the better team. They were fantastic on the night. But I think the goal early that they got really knocked any self-belief that Arsenal had in their team.
I suppose in many ways, Manu, when you come with a game plan that is all about counter-attacking football and soaking up the pressure, the worst
you need to put ingredients.
Those ingredients.
That means
and don't
fighting spirits. You know, you have to be concentrate on the organisation tactically and discipline, and they were missing both. And simply, when you play against Bayern Munich and they play the way they used to play, you're out of the game.
Yeah. Ian, you constantly said in the matches we've worked together with Arsenal over the recent times, you keep saying you never know what Arsenal you're going to get.
No, you don't.
And I mean, your predictions suggest that as well.
I did say I fancied them. And coming off of apart from the Sheffield Wednesday, you know, they've had a few very, very good results. So coming into the game, you'd have thought they would have been confident, but there's a couple of players there who you feel are going to be uncomfortable in the situation of defending for probably most of the game.
Which players?
Well, I think that Santi Cazorla was one. I don't think he's somebody that in a game where he's not getting a lot of touches on the ball and there's a lot of high pressure on him, he's somebody that he's not going to, like I said, he's not going to beat you with the ball. So if you're in and around him, and unfortunately he got taken off, if you're in and around him, you can nick the ball off of him. And it was just once they scored the first goal, and then the second, it was like when they played at the Emirates, it was more of a case of Bayern at the Emirates. They didn't take their chances, and Arsenal took advantage of that this time. They took their chances and they just ran away with it. They were very much the deserved winners, and that's the Bayern Munich that we were expecting to see a couple of weeks ago.
Let's see the positive things. It's a very good preparation for the derby on Sunday.
A little bit of irony there. Yes, Tottenham for Arsenal on Sunday. There are few finishers in world football better than Thomas Müller.
No, I mean, we were disappointed last week not to see him play in a more central role. Costa was unbelievable on that. Created 2v1 out wide. And the ball, what we said before, it falls in the box and it just falls to this guy's feet all the time. Left foot, right foot, it doesn't matter. He knows where the goal is.
I think it's probably quite important to give credit to a wonderful side. Bayern Munich were terrific, weren't they?
They deserved to win tonight, no doubt about it. But I think they make it very easy for them as well. So it's quite frustrating for the Arsenal fans because just before the game, we all knew that at least a point will make a deal. And they come on the pitch just like, beat us, very easily. Yeah. So no character, no passion on the pitch.
I suppose Arsene Wenger was pretty honest in his assessment. He was clearly very despondent about his team's defending. In many ways, though, the damage was done in the first two matches, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that definitely. That's what happens with Arsenal in previous seasons. They start slow. It happens in the Premier League as well. And then they play catch-up. And then in a table like this with Bayern Munich, it's difficult to get results against. They had a fantastic result last time, but this time they needed that luck again and they didn't have it. They conceded early and then it was an uphill struggle from then and they never recovered.
Strange side, your mob.
Well, it's like I said, you don't know what to... It really is feast or famine, man. It's,
you're right.
I am, yeah. I'm fine, really. I'll be fine. But it's just very frustrating because you want them to try and continue momentum and keep it going. It's always going to be an uphill task against them in the Bayern Arena. But the fact is that they played well enough to try and go there and do better than they did. And Arsene Wenger said he's disappointed with the way they defended, and they did defend pretty badly.
But they're a very good side, Bayern Munich, and I suppose they were outflanking Arsenal in many ways.
Yeah, I mean, getting the ball out wide to Costa, this guy 1v1. Drags people in, commits them, and then creates an overload with the fullbacks coming over the back. You've got Lahm and Alaba, both fantastic, if not the best fullbacks in the world at the moment. Mm. And these goals here, 2v1s, and with all due respect, Campbell and Sanchez, their first instincts aren't to defend. Mm. And playing against world beaters like these guys, you've got to have people who are willing to want to run back and track back, and today it just wasn't that day. And here, as I said again, overloads all over the place, creating problems within the Arsenal back four. And you have to say again, the Arsenal back four, without Koscielny, the right back not playing as well. I mean, the depth in this squad maybe isn't good enough to warrant going much further in this tournament.
Well, you look at the bench, you can see Arsenal, once they lose a couple of players, how much it affects the team. And when you look at the bench, there wasn't really much to come off the bench. But, like I say, this Bayern Munich side what turned up today was the Bayern Munich side I think people were expecting to see 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
This Bayern Munich team going for the kill, the finished teams were off.
Can you see any way of Arsenal getting out of this? I mean, they've got to rely on not being a draw of Bayern Munich, but you would expect Bayern Munich to beat Olympiacos.
You would do, yeah. And then Arsenal. Then it's up to Arsenal to go and beat Olympiacos in Olympiacos, which they've not done.
By at least two goals.
Which won't be easy. Yeah, but you don't know what Arsenal you're going to get. They might go there. They might get the Bayern Munich, Arsenal, get the Emirates. Yeah. You don't know.
Well, hopefully it'll be a fascinating last day and Arsenal still be in there fighting.
Fabregas and Oscar arriving as well. Fist in, and that's the break that Chelsea wanted. It's gone in of Dragovic. Corner for Dynamo Kiev, in by Yarmolenko. Matic got in the way. Shot comes in from Dragovic, and the deflection has Dynamo Kiev level, and it's a real setback for Mourinho and Chelsea. Lian's free kick. It's it! Oh, that's what Chelsea needed! Fantastic from Willian! What a huge goal for Mourinho and Chelsea!
A big relief, Jose?
Big relief. I think the players deserve working so much and not getting the compensation for that hard work. I think they deserve.
Not bad considering the newspapers have told us all week that these players want to lose for Jose Mourinho. That wasn't that kind of performance tonight, particularly in the second half.
No, no. Hey, listen, they're professional players. I mean, that is where I think it's a lot of rubbish is said. But they've gone. They had to go out. We said before the game down there, didn't we, on the pitch side, they've got to go out. It's all right saying things. They've got to go out and do it in actions on the pitch. And
yeah, I'm delighted from tonight, Glenn. You know, it's good. Chelsea need a result, but let's not kid ourselves. The opposition were very average. They're not playing a top team tonight, but they've done their job. You can't ask any more. But, you know, I've seen Chelsea play an awful lot better, but they got the result tonight, which was all important. Jose needed that, wanted that result, and they got it. And you saw when they scored the togetherness there at the end.
Yeah.
They was so up for getting a result for each other.
And with confidence so low among a lot of the players, you know, the concerns were then this is going to be another of those nights for Chelsea and for Jose. But the man who's done so well for them so far this season, the top scorer for Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, I could never fantastic. See... It was only when they scored that you felt they started the second half better.
Yeah.
First half, they were poor, dreadful. Offered absolutely nothing. But then when they get the goal, they came back in. But William, again, steps up to the mark. Great free kick. The keeper, you know, not gone in the... You know, if you look at it, he's not really moved his feet. He's dived from his standing position. It's not stuck in the corner, Glenn, is it?
For me, he jumps. It's a classic one. If you see that again, as Willem's hitting it, he's in the air. He's 2 feet lift off the floor. Mm. You can't move. A goalkeeper has to try and get...
Move your feet.
You can't move your feet if your feet are in the air for that split second.
He's a super player, isn't he? Fantastic footballer.
And actually, I understand the question that Matt asked of Jose. We've all been focusing on the form of Ivanovic and of Hazard and Costa and Fabregas. And actually, the form that Willian has showed has gone under the radar so far this season.
He's been excellent. He was a great signing. You know, I'd seen him play when he was at Shakhtar, and he looked a class act, and they did well. He looked like he was going to Tottenham at the time, and then Chelsea came in, and he's now showing the form that made Chelsea sign him. He's a top player. He's been outstanding.
He's a good player as well.
Yeah. And Hazard came on.
When you're under pressure, you know, when the team are struggling, he's the one that's kept them going and playing well.
I imagine there was an enormous sense of relief around Stamford Bridge at that result, Ria.
Yeah, definitely. I think especially after the way they were beat at home against Liverpool at the weekend, they needed to come back with a response. They needed to come back with a win to start building some form of confidence. I think confidence comes with results, like we said before, but also it's also about being in control when you've got the ball and being in control when you haven't got the ball, when you're defending. And I think that will come after a steady stream of results, and they need to start winning games.
Massive turn. It's such an important goal from Willian, wasn't it? Especially having, you know, Kiev equalising in the manner that they did.
It's very easy in situations like this. You can blame the goalkeeper. I think the goalkeeper's got a half-decent position. I think his ball's pretty good. And Willian's gone over the top of that wall. It's a brilliant free kick. Sometimes you just got to give credit for that. The goalkeeper's got his side and Willian's just hit a fantastic free kick. It's a brilliant goal.
Sometimes people go over the wall and go quite high and it dips in, but that one had a lot of pace on it. It didn't get much height and it just went over and straight in.
As soon as it gets over the wall, it's literally in.
He's been Chelsea's best player this season.
Absolutely.
I think it's 5 free kicks he scored now this season.
He's been very consistent in that way.
Yeah. It's obviously a game we've watched just the highlights to, but one man that was actually at the game tonight working for us on one of our other channels is Glenn Hoddle, who joins us now. Glenn, good evening to you. Thanks for hanging on behind there. How would you evaluate Chelsea's performance this evening?
Well, the number one thing was the result, and they've come through with a 2-1 win, obviously. They came out on the front foot. They looked confident enough. They pinned Kiev back for long spells in the first half. Without being fantastic, they weren't really at their very best, but they've got over the line with a win, Gary, and it's important because that confidence needs to come back into this team. You can see it. They're edging there, I think, in the Champions League games. Whether this will flow over to the Premier League, it hasn't yet after they've come back from Champions League games. They've not managed to get that consistency yet. But there were signs. There were signs. And for me, second half, when Hazard and Pedro came on with 20 to go, you know, the technicians came on and they really did take Kiev, take them to the throat. And Hazard particularly was excellent second half when he came on. So hopefully he might get back to his very best because Chelsea, this team at the moment, needs him firing on all cylinders. But Willian was the difference. He really was. He's the one that's been playing exceedingly well, even when the team's been playing poor. And tonight, he was the one pulling the strings, creating, and obviously is the match winner with the fantastic free kick that he scored.
Obviously, a lot of talk this week, Glenn, about the players and unrest, etc., etc., against the manager. Looking at that performance, do you think the players are backing Jose? They're right behind him?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of talk this week off the pitch, but you have to follow that up with actions on the pitch, and they did that. They were at it from the beginning. As I say, they weren't free-flowing, as we've seen Chelsea in the past, but you could see their attitude was right. And when Willem scored in the end there, the whole team went together. There was that unity there that we've seen for many, many years with Chelsea. So I don't think there's a problem like people are saying about them playing for the manager. I just think there's a lot of mistakes been made, and they're trying to rectify them and move on and get that confidence. I think they've been fortunate that they're in a group at the moment with the dodgy period of time and the form that they're in. They're in a relatively easy group, and I think they'll come through this group. There's no doubt about that now. A stiffer group, they might have been out. But who's to say by the time the last 16 comes round, Chelsea might be up the Premier League, up in top four places, and firing on all cylinders again, Gary. And I think they've got the capabilities and the quality to go a long way in this trophy. It might not seem that at the moment, but they've certainly got to get those games under their belt and the confidence, but they're capable of that.
Glenn, thanks very much for joining us. We'll let you go. Rio, is it just a crisis of confidence? Is it just a matter of putting a few results together and they're OK?
Yeah, it is a crisis of confidence, definitely. I mean, I remember back to when I was playing, and you concede a goal when you're in a run like this, when you can't find a win, and it's, oh, no, not again. Well, when you're confident and you're firing on all cylinders and you're on a good run of form and the players are playing, your match winners are lively, you go a goal down, it's like, get the ball out of the net, put it on the halfway line, we'll go back, we'll score now, we'll come back into the game. That's a difference, and that's what they've got to recreate and find now. And that comes with actually playing games, winning and trying to go a goal up and then controlling the game rather than panicking and just trying to skit over the line.
It's all between here, isn't it? Is it between the ears?
Absolutely. You can't... Like Hazard, for instance, you can't go from what he's been, the consistency he's shown over the last few years, not only in England but in France, and then have the start of the season, what he's had so far, and think that it's all over for him. He's going to get it back. I'm sure he's going to get it back. Costa's going to get something back. And then you have to say, when Costa, Fabregas and Eben was firing, they were scintillating. You know what I mean? And like the gaffer said there, like Glenn Oliver said there, it's, if they get that going, they could start causing problems.
Looking at Barcelona, expected victory for them. Interesting stat that they've started 11 games this season. Both started, Suarez and Neymar, 20 goals between them.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And it's great to see two great players at the top of their form, peak powers, performing so readily together on the same wavelength. Very unselfish when they both get in and there's an opportunity to give someone else a chance to score. And they seem like they're in it together, which is really, really nice to see. Yeah.
Even when Messi's not there, he was in the stands watching.
Barcelona are going to take some stopping, I think, this year. When Messi comes back and they've got them three up front, that's going to be very difficult to combat.
If Messi can get back in the team. Well,
he's going to have to be very professional.
Yeah, I think he might be.
On Tuesday, Manchester City beat Sevilla and Manchester United left it late to defeat CSKA Moscow at Old Trafford. Here's more of the best bits with Paul Scholes, Owen Hargreaves, Lindsay Hipgrave, Steve McManaman and Harry Redknapp.
Fernandinho and Raheem Sterling scores for Manchester City. Wilfred Bony, what a save! In second time, Fernandinho, 2-0 City!
Tolo, Koke...
Body! 3-1 City!
Congratulations, you qualified, you're through with two games to spare. What does that say about this team?
First, the first feeling is finally. You know, it's a difficult group. And for us to be qualified with two games spare, I mean, it's an incredible achievement. And, you know, we go on. It'd be a first for us to finish first in a group, and that's important. You know, we've been unlucky in the draws before, so we need to make sure that we can reach the first spot now.
Raheem, congratulations. Your first goal, your first Champions League goal. Very special, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was definitely a special goal for me, first goal in the Champions League. But the most important thing was the way the team played tonight. I thought we'd done great and took our chances where we needed to.
City through with two games to spare. And Steve, you were here when the draw took place. And Would you ever have believed that?
Well, you always believe that they would qualify, even though they got drawn in a difficult group, Lindsay, but you cannot believe they qualified for two games when they lost the first game and then, you know, struggled to beat Mönchengladbach and then get a last-minute winner against Sevilla first time round. But this performance, if anything, they're getting better as the competition goes on, and that's what you want. Maybe they're going to hit the right stride later on in the tournament, which is what they want, because they certainly saved their best performance. This was lovely movement by Raheem Sterling in and out, and him and Fernandinho, you know, this is on the training ground, because he waited and waited and waited, and it was brilliant movement, and he had the Sevilla defender all over the place. And he finished it off, but this was their best performance by far, Manchester City. Very, very powerful and very impressive.
Sterling caused all sorts of problems tonight, Harry.
He
did. Involved in that second goal as well for Fernandinho, who again was brilliant.
It was difficult to pick out a star, Lindsay. It was such a good all-round team performance. Great work again from Sterling. Boney, you know, looked like suddenly Fernandinho has arrived in the box. We looked at him to be as holding midfield player tonight, but he's got forward as much as anybody. He's been incredible, the amount of it, the work rate he's put in tonight. But everything about City's performance was first class. They're defending, they headed balls out the box, as Vincent Kompany said, and they attacked in numbers. They absolutely, it was such an exciting performance, absolutely enjoyed it.
I think that was the great thing. The entertainment value was great as well. It really was. This wasn't a 1-0 performance where they were strong defensively and hanging on. This was a performance which was 3-1, but actually could have been 6
easily. At this point, we thought, oh, no, here we go again.
Yeah, well, they got back into the game. And listen, it was a lovely goal, wasn't it? Tremolinas at the far post. And Otamendi just gets caught ball watching, really. You see him go out, but he doesn't really make a challenge. I think he gets scared because he's in the penalty area. But this was a really nice goal from Sevilla, and you thought they were going to get back into the game. And again, Vincent Kompany was talking about big performances. Another one was from the goalkeeper, who's been excellent in the Champions League.
Great save, low down. You know, they scored, it's game on. They'd have been right back in 2-2, but almost immediately City, you know, they go up the other end, and a fantastic goal. Great kick and a great bit of skill from Neves. And another excellent goal. That must have done Boney's confidence a world of good tonight. A good performance. And a good performance as well. The manager, he's picked the right team tonight. People, you know, looked and questioned, is it the right team? De Bruyne not playing, but fantastic. Full marks to the manager. That's twice. The last two games, he made a substitution late at the Etihad, and it worked, and they won the game. And today he's picked the right team yet again. So full credit as well to
Big
him.
To leave out De Bruyne.
When the man with no shirt on there, when he plays, they get results. He came off against Juventus, they lost the game. Didn't play against Mönchengladbach. They won the game, but they struggled. Suddenly, when he's at the back, everybody around him looks a lot more confident, don't they? They know he's there. Everybody else is full of confidence. Everybody can drive forward, and a really good performance tonight.
But Harry, you watched that game in studio too for us on one of the other channels. Manchester City, very impressive performance, wasn't it?
Fantastic performance, Gary. Right in the first whistle, they came out. Their intention was to go on and win the game, and they attacked Seville every opportunity, and they just couldn't handle them. Mm. They created so many chances tonight. They could have scored 5 or 6 goals easily.
Manuel Pellegrini alluded to a change of tactics, not been happy with the way they're playing. What was the difference?
Well, Fernandinho and Yaya Toure tonight, they both bombed forward at every opportunity and got up, and Boney held the ball up well, and they had runners from midfield to join him. The two wide men were in great form. Sterling was excellent, and Navas was as good as I've seen him play. You know, we said earlier, his final ball tonight, you know, unusually hasn't been great, but tonight he picked out a couple of good crosses. But it was a solid performance, and as well as, you know, they were solid, but also had loads going forward, and it was a real, real good all-round performance.
I suppose, to put it in context, Rio, I mean Sevilla have won their last 10 games in European football, so to go there and win so emphatically, at home, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, it was no easy task going there. We were mentioning it before, and we thought it would be a really, really difficult game. But I think it's great to see Pellegrini's come across this new formation. I think we've been speaking about it for a number of weeks, a number of seasons, really, that the way they play, which is very, very attack-minded in the Premier League, you can't really do that as much in the Champions League. You've got to find a way that's a bit different to what you normally do to adapt to the Champions League. And it's great to see they've done that. Whether it'll work against a top, top team will remain to be seen. But they deserve huge credit tonight, because it's a tough place to go, Seville.
Always helps when you get off to a cracking start as well, doesn't it, Paul?
Yeah, it does. That's a great win for City tonight.
have they stumbled across this formation with Silva not being fit? I'm not too sure. But to have them three powerful midfield players, I thought tonight it was a good away European team, and it's turned out that way.
And I suppose also he's vindicated in leaving De Bruyne out. He's been terrific since he joined. That was a bit of a surprise, but now that's who came in.
Before, but full credit to the manager. He's picked the right team tonight, no doubt about that. And the competition for places, Silva, Aguero, when they come back, they're going to look very strong.
Yeah, it shows also what terrific squad they've got. Yeah. Great strength in depth, and you know, Sterling is scoring a goal and a good finish too.
Yeah, Sterling was excellent tonight. You know, his movement was first class, and at times, you know, he's dragged the fullback in short here and spun him behind him, and a great little pass, and it was a good finish. I mean, he's got in that position so many times this year and not scored, but it was a good side foot finish into the bottom corner, and he was good on the night.
This was the next goal, Fernandinho's goal, more good
again,
work.
Yeah, Sterling's done great again, and you know, Boney's. You know, he fancied him to score, but Fernandinho's followed up again and kept arriving in the box all night.
Well, one thing City have got in wide areas is real pace with Navas and Sterling. And you know, if they're on form, you've got the three holding midfield players can look after the other team. Although Fernandinho looked like he was getting forward, he could have scored two or three, but you know, the real pace in the team, which helps.
He's adapted to life at Manchester City well, Raheem Sterling, hasn't he? If he can just add more consistency to his finishing, to the rest of his game and his movement and everything else, you have quite a player, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, finishing, I think, has been always the thing that's been a question mark in his game, the end product. But you can see his all-round game developing there. You can see the runs, the movement. From a wide player, that's what you want him to play high. And then when he does come inside, bring the fullback, ask him the question, do you want to come with me? And if he does, he's got the pace to get right behind him. And that was a great example there.
Are we looking, do you think, Harry, perhaps a sort of pivotal moment for Manchester City in European football? This will give them real belief, won't it, going into the knockout stage?
Yeah, especially if now they've got to go to Juventus now. That's going to be the crunch game as to who finishes top, probably.
Which is important.
Important. If they can, they want to avoid, you know, they normally end up with a bad draw, don't they? Okay. So it's important they go there and try to get that win.
Lingard, and it goes to
Of course, I'm very happy with the result, but also with the performance of my players. They play so organized, so compact. It is not easy to disorganize them. So we have done that 90 minutes or 85 till the last 5 minutes, I think. We played only to score, and they were only here to defend. I was very proud of my players. They did it very well. And the goal was fantastic.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going. There are a few tougher than Wayne Rooney, Rhea.
Yeah, well, we mentioned before, he always seems to just pop up with a goal when it's needed. The pressure's on, people are doubting him. Is he over the hill? Is he too old now? And he always seems to come good, and it was pleasing to see, really. I mean, David De Gea and Chris Smalling need special mention before that goal. They made a great save and a block on the line. And then to go up the other end with Carrick with a fantastic pass to Lingard and Rooney in the place where he's always to finish it off. And it was a good night, worrying at times, but they got the job done, which was important.
I suppose in many ways, Paul, watching a display like that, it gets a little bit edgy, but it may not have been the most emphatic victory that Manchester United have ever endured under their own floodlights. But sometimes those kind of results are really significant and important for confidence and all sorts of reasons.
Yeah, they are, especially for confidence. I think they played with a real intent tonight. I think, you know, they passed it forward a lot more. Michael Carrick and the team made a big difference, I think. Daley Blind was passing it forward. The full-backs were bombing on. And crosses were coming to the box. And, you know, you'd just like to see more of that from United. I think that was more of a Man United performance. OK, they didn't create many clear-cut chances. But as Wayne said in his interview, when you're playing against teams who come with 10 men behind the ball, it's very difficult to break down. So I think you have to give him credit. I think Jesse Lingard needs special mention. I think everything United did that was good came through him. And as Rio said, Michael's ball to him was brilliant. But Jesse's, you know, to square it across the box on the volley like first time was brilliant.
Adjustment in system and everything's paid off. In the end, a win is a win.
Well, I think it was a better performance, especially at times. As they were saying, they played a little bit quicker forward. And I think if you get the man some service, Wayne Rooney will score your goals, you know, and that's always been the case. Obviously, he's had a few dry spells, but I thought it was a more typical United performance today. And obviously, David De Gea keeps him in the game at a crucial time. And United dominated for large spells, 70% possession, but didn't really create a ton of clear-cut chances. But it was a better performance from United. And I think fans will be hopeful that this is a sign of things to come.
I think the difference in United tonight, they still had the 70% possession. What was the directness with it? There was a means at the end of it. They wanted to try and score goals.
Do you sense that was under orders from Louis van Gaal, do you think? Because, you know, because he can be quite stubborn, they say, that in the pattern of his play. Do you think that instruction has come from him? Like, let's get it forward quicker.
I think so. I presume so. I hope so. He's the manager and they decide how to play. And I think they came out right from the word go with an intent to pass it forward. They played the two lads up front, Wayne, Justin behind Martial. And you have to say it was a lot better. It was much more like watching Man United. OK, didn't create many clear-cut chances, but it was a lot better and something that was, I think, could be exciting for in the game to come.
We said before the game that two home wins would see them through and they've got one of them out of the way. I think today the big difference was that they played forward a lot quicker. They had players around Wayne Rooney. They played two up front with Martial, which was huge for him, and got the ball wide and flooded the box. And we've been asking and crying out for that, the fans at Manchester United, for the last few games. And they put CSKA under pressure for spells of that game. But a big improvement on the last few games.
When you're managing a side, Harry, and you and the confidence perhaps in front of goal is a little bit low, and they've gone three games without scoring, three nil-nils, how as a manager can you influence things in that way? I mean, he's changed the system. Is that the best way to do it, or is it just best to encourage them, just keep doing the right thing?
I think you just got to keep encouraging people to keep getting in there, Gary. I mean, you know better than anybody, you're a goal scorer, and, you know, you have little dry spells where it doesn't go, but eventually, you know, it'll come, and you've got to keep working at it, keep practising, keep working at it. And, you know, tonight Rooney's got back on the score sheet again, which is good for him. It'll give him confidence. But I don't think he's a boy who ever looks like he's too short of confidence. The lads know him much better than I do, but I wouldn't think he's a lad who lacks confidence.
No, we talked quite a lot of length about Wayne before the game.
Michael Carrick's been a big miss in this team, I think. I think now he will stay in this team from that performance. And you can't underestimate the cushion volley from Jesse. He puts on a plate for Wayne, and Wayne isn't, whatever mood he's in, he's not going to miss from there.
I think it seemed from the first minute that they had the instructions to play the ball forward and put this team under pressure.
Definitely.
They obviously have to win the last two games at home, and you could see straight away. I think in games gone by, Michael Carrick would have just passed that simply square and then go on the other side of the pitch and then let the team get back in and get a good shape there. Takes the defenders out of one ball.
You talked about Michael Carrick there, the importance he has within this particular side. Is it slightly disconcerting, though, for Manchester United that they rely so heavily on someone that is, what, now 34 years old?
No, I don't think so. He's there. Van Gaal, I don't really think Van Gaal liked him that much, to be honest with
you. You're not?
No, I don't think
why,
so.
Why do you say that? Because he's not played him
all the
time.
He's not played him. Yeah. Michael's a player who needs to be playing. He's not the type of player who comes in for one game, goes out for three games, come back. He's a player, he needs rhythm in a game. Alex Ferguson always said it takes him five or six games to get going. And we've played with Michael.
Fantastic.
What a footballer.
Fantastic.
Great pass with the ball. He can stick a ball into a forward. He can hit it wide like he did today. And, you know, if they can keep him fit, keep him in the team, I think they'll be a lot better.
Yeah, listen, I think Carrick is, you know, he's vital. They bought Schweinsteiger in, you know, and why they brought him in, really. Suddenly bought a couple of midfield players in because probably Carrick was the one he was probably maybe looking to shove us to one side. But he'd be in the team any day. He's a fantastic footballer.
Yeah, it was definitely a different Manchester United one. You could see right from the first whistle whether it was Michael Carrick who made the difference, whether the manager wanted them to pass. I hope it was the manager because, you know, when you pass the ball, you have to pass the ball forward. You have to have full-backs bombing on. That's the way Manchester United play. You have to commit people into the box, and tonight they did that.
And here's Nacho, and he scored! Quite what the goalkeeper, Kevin Trapp, was doing is a mystery. In a very strange position. But what a well-executed volley from a player who's only been on the pitch for 2 minutes. It is Di Maria. Oh! The width of the frame of the goal away from making it 1-1.
What a great effort. Hits it beautifully. You see it curl outside the post, comes back in. So unlucky.
Interesting. interesting little moment we've spotted towards the end of the game. Cristiano Ronaldo with the Paris Saint-Germain head coach, Laurent Blanc. A little whisper in my ear, maybe. I might be available in the summer, Laurent. Twitter thinks so. They've been going bonkers with that one this evening, as you might expect.
I don't know.
But there are not many places he can go. He can either perhaps go, what, back to Manchester United or PSG, if he ever wants to go anywhere else.
Yeah, I think
he might not be happy with Rafa, who knows?
I don't know. I mean, if he gets asked to do too much defensive responsibilities, I think he'd be looking for somewhere else to go. But I don't know. Doing it on the pitch like that, I don't think that's Ronnie's style.
No, not at all. Where can he go, Harry? Do you think he'll finish his days at Real Madrid?
Back to England and play, wouldn't you, in the Premier League? Wouldn't it be fantastic? Yeah. I don't know where he could go now, but probably... Who could have fooled him? Man City, yeah, Man United would like him. Man City, I'm sure, would like him as well. But it was good to see Eduardo score as well tonight for Shakhtar. Mm. You know, breaking his leg at Arsenal back. It's fantastic to see him back playing well.
It certainly is. Interesting, Rio, looking at Real Madrid and Ronaldo's situation. I know you're certainly plenty of good times with Cristiano. I noticed he's got a book out, and I saw the serialisation, a little read through it. It seems that you guys weren't that kind to him early on, almost bullied him a little bit in training. Is that true? Or
no, but we didn't
bully him.
In a
friendly manner, I'm sure.
Yeah, but it was just, we all saw the huge potential that he had. And he came over and his first thought was to entertain. And we wanted to win. And we knew that with him in our team, if he had end product, we had a far better chance of being successful. So, to say a better word, we were kicking it out of him, the entertainment factor, to get the actual end product, the goals and the assists. And
so that was like a deliberate ploy, and you think overall it's probably served him well?
100%. It wasn't something that we would have spoke about. It was just something that natural that we would have thought, listen, this guy's got the talent to take us over the line to the next level. And to do that, he's got to start passing the ball. I remember Ruud van Nistelrooy almost walked in from training because he was doing about 50 step-overs and he said, I can't play with this. Cross the ball so I can make runs to score goals.
A couple of Paul Scholes tackles would have sorted that out, wouldn't it?
Training did do, I don't worry about that.
When he got near him.
Yeah. To catch him first, yeah. Look, it was like every player with talent. You need them to work back. You need them to work for the team and if you're going to be a successful team. And he didn't really entertain the thought of running back, did he, and defending. And you have to say that's the way he's brought up. And you know, the talent that he had, it made up for that. We didn't care towards the end, really, did we?
You must have seen it straight away. The fact that he was so outstanding, you just thought, crikey, what we got here.
We were all in the toilet, remember? We played against Sporting Lisbon.
All in the toilet?
Yeah, we played against Sporting
Lisbon. It's a bit odd.
Sporting Lisbon. Half-time comes. We come in. He was like a 17-year-old. No-one had heard about him. Yeah. Just back off tour, we was all jet-lagged, etc. And we're in the toilet going, we've got to sign this guy. And we're looking in the changing room and seeing Shazy was marking him. John O'Shea was like this. He couldn't get near him. Sorry, Shazy. But it was that was the moment you say, well, we have to... By the time we got home, he was signed and still delivered.
Yeah. I mean, extraordinary talent. I mean, talking about Real Madrid, Owen, the way they're progressing under Rafa Benitez, can you see improvements? Can you see a likelihood that they could go on and win the Champions League?
I don't know if they're progressing. If anything, I think that tactically they're probably regressing in the sense that Casemiro was on loan at Porto last season. He's a defensive midfield player. He's playing ahead of James today. And that just shows the respect that Real Madrid have and Benitez has for the opposition and PSG. He realised that you can't have a ton of ball players out there. PSG has one of the highest possession sets in the Champions League. So I think tactically, this is a very dangerous team, Real Madrid, with all those individuals.
Yeah. And a degree of defence.
And a bit of control as well.
Which Rafa Benitez is known to be a cautious coach.
I think they're heavy favourites with Bayern to win the Champions League. I really do. Yeah. With that tactical news to add with Bale and Ronaldo and Benzema, it could be scary.
I think both of these teams will win the Champions League. You look at the teams.
PSG as well.
Yeah, PSG as well. I think they've been really good the last couple of years, just falling when they've come up against the better teams, against the Madrids and Barcelona's maybe. But I think there's real talent in that team, and I wouldn't be surprised if any of these two teams go on to win it.
No, I don't fancy PSG.
No. Not ready yet, not quite.
No, I just don't think they've got the personnel to do it. I don't think that they've...
I don't know. Really?
Defensively, I don't think they're fantastic. I just think Madrid, with the likes of Ronaldo, with Bale, and added with the Benitez defensive maturity and now, I think they've got a real opportunity to go out there and stifle teams and then really hit teams on the break when they need to. Thanks for listening to the Champions League podcast. We'll be back again next round for more of the best insight analysis. See you then.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.